everyone, Nate Adelman from The Fitting Room here, and we've been busy all week last week at the Players, working with our athletes, recording some great new Fitting Room content, but it's not quite ready yet for public consumption. So this week, we thought that we would rebroadcast one of our most favorite recent episodes. It's actually episode 104, the tune-up fitting that I did with Garrett Pond. And the tune-up fitting is a really relevant topic this time of year because the season is just getting going, pulling the clubs out of the garage, and we oftentimes get fit when we get new clubs, but we don't always think about the tune-up fitting with our existing clubs and making sure that the clubs we have in our bag already, they might be the right clubs for us. We just got to get them tuned up, dialed in. I thought it was a great episode, something that we all can learn from, especially going into the season. So without further ado, let's listen to episode 104 of the Fitting Room podcast, The Tune-Up Fitting, with me and Garrett Pond.
This is the Fitting Room podcast. Here's your host, Nate Adelman.
Well, 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 here we are again. We find ourselves in the Callaway Podcast Studio for another episode of the Fitting Room Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Adelman, with my good friend and special guest, host, Garrett Pond. Garrett,
that's a mouthful back. Right there, yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how to classify you anymore because, you know, you're a host some days, you're a guest some days, but let's just have, you know, two friends talking golf today.
Let's do it.
This is an exciting episode of the Fitting Room. It's actually a topic we've never talked about before. And we talk a lot about, you know, getting new clubs, getting fit for clubs, knowing whether your clubs are right for you that are in your bag. But we've never really dug deep into this particular topic. And Garrett, I'm going to let you introduce it because you actually came to us and said, hey, this is something that I know would be good for the show that we've never covered before. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right about that. Let's drop everything we're doing and go record this episode. So give me a 30,000 foot view of this episode.
Yeah. So here's the rundown. So most fittings are based around getting new clubs, buying new clubs. You go get fit and you're sold golf clubs, or you're a tour player, you're going to get fit and you're leaving with new clubs. We get a lot of tour players down at the test center, and it's a fun fitting to go through because they come looking to make sure that their current clubs, you know, it's not ready to get next season's clubs yet, but they've got some important events coming up. They want to get their current clubs fine-tuned and make sure that they're performing perfectly for them, essentially. So it's sort of a tune-up fitting, or as John Deegan down at the test center calls it, it's peace of mind fitting. Mm. So Q school's going on right now. We had a handful of guys come in before first stage. They've got all our new products.
Right.
It's not like they need all new stuff. They want to make sure those new products, there's nothing no stone they've left unturned with how their bag's set up. So that's the fitting.
So I'm going to stop you right there.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the difference between a tune-up fitting and a full bag fitting, and we'll go through the process that a tour player goes through for a tune-up fitting, which you could probably apply to. You have your club championship coming up. You got your member guest coming up. You know, you're going on vacation to St. Andrews, and you want to make sure you've got your best weapons there with you. We'll get to that in a second. Just a few reminders here today. The Fitting Room is part of the Callaway Podcast Network with some wonderful shows that you should definitely listen to, subscribe to. Subscribe here to The Fitting Room on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, but there's also wonderful shows like The Ship Show, The Girls in Golf Podcast, which they've been doing great things lately, and of course The Putting Podcast. And you can always listen to old episodes, the archives of The Fitting Room. You can get those on wherever you listen to your podcast. And you can always hear us live with the live show, which is Monday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. On that show, you can call in live and you can ask Garrett questions about your own game, and Garrett will be there to answer them. If that's not a hook, I don't really know what is.
That's always a fun time.
Those are really fun. We love doing them. We're going to continue doing them. We got our contract renewed for 2020. So we're in business. But Garrett, let's get back into it. So like you were saying, Q School, lots of guys coming in. You know, those are big tournaments because if you make, you get a PGA Tour card, you know, you'll be able to afford your mortgage payments for a while.
Yeah.
So there's a lot riding on those. So, you know, let's start from the beginning. Take us through what is a tune-up fitting?
So, for the most part, everyone's already got their clubs that they know they're about to go play in whatever event that they're going to play in, whether it's the member guest or their vacation or in the case that we've seen recently, Q School. They want to know that, they're hitting them as good as they can, essentially. So we kind of go through a little bit of a pre-fit interview like you would with a consumer, you know, looking for new clubs. But it's questions like, are you having shot shape issues with any particular club in your bag? Is any something out of pattern? You know, are you fading your 5-iron, you draw all your other clubs sort of thing? Or are there gaps in your carry distances that you feel like need to be addressed, either too close together, too far apart, that sort of thing? Or is there just something that you dislike feel wise? Sometimes guys will say, yeah, my driver's shaft's not feeling good. I want to see if something feels better in my hands. Sometimes there's a specific shot that they know they're going to have to hit wherever they're going. So it might be a tee shot. You know, it's going to be a windy course or a firm course. I need a utility iron with me instead of my hybrid. So I want to get one of those dialed in. And sometimes because those guys are practicing so much, they say, you know, the grooves in my wedges are worn out. I want to get those.
I was going to ask you about wear and tear.
Wear and tear is a big part of this type of fitting.
So I heard a story, and I'm probably going to mess up some of the details, so nobody quote me on this, but I heard a story that Mr. Woods would warm up with a pitching wedge, an 8-iron, a 5-iron, and then he'd go into his woods. So he is notorious for practicing a lot. I mean, you know, he hits a lot of balls. Those clubs would get disproportionately worn out.
Yeah.
And so the 8-iron, I think, was the story I heard. One season he had won, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but he had already won like 2 or 3 majors, and typically he would replace his irons like every 8 months or something.
Yep.
And this set of irons he had won like 60% of times he played with them, so he didn't want to get rid of those clubs. And the 8-iron had been worn so much, like the grooves were flat, that it wasn't spinning. It was spinning like a 7-iron. So his 8-iron and his 7-iron went the same distance because it was just so much less spin on the 8-iron.
Yep.
And so he would, but he didn't want to get rid of it. So he would basically, if he had 8-iron distance, he would have to like take something off and hit like a cut or something like that. But he knew how the club was going to perform. But the face was just straight worn out.
Yeah, that's a big part of the tune-up fitting. Happens a lot with the pitching wedge or just a wedge that guys hit a lot of warm-up shots with, like you mentioned with Tiger. It's common for the club that gets worn out. If you mention, hey, are you having any gapping issues? Say they warm up with their pitching wedge. Almost every single time they'll say, yeah, my gap between my pitching wedge and my gap wedge is too big. And then you go into kind of looking at the specs. Are there big differences in loft? Are the lie angles doing something to what that might affect the distance? If everything sort of checks out there, are the grooves actually not doing their job on the pitching wedge? And when a club does not produce as much spin, the ball rolls up the face a little bit, you get a higher launch angle and lower spin, and people associate higher launch and lower spin with a driver to make the ball go farther. It happens with a pitching wedge too. So naturally that pitching wedge starts going a little bit farther. And if the wedges on the gap wedge are still biting and spinning, that's not going any different. It's not right. Going shorter there. Right. Essentially, it's just you've created a gap by the pitching wedge getting worn out. So you kind of uncover things like that in this type of fitting. So in that case, they're not necessarily there to get new clubs, but they definitely need a new pitching wedge.
So they would just replace that one club.
Possibly, yeah.
Now, let's say you have an instance where, maybe it is also the warm-up clubs. The faces are fine, no issues there. but a grip is worn out, or maybe a driver, right? A driver grip, you hit the driver a lot on the range. What's your approach on, do you just replace the single grip, or would, if you replace one, you replace them all?
That's a little more player dependent. If they, you know, personality wise, sometimes everything's got to be done exactly at the same time. Other times it's like, no, the rest of them are fine. I don't hit those as often, but the driver, yeah, it needs a new grip. So, we get both, and, you know, at the test center, we're there to provide the whatever service that the pros need from us. So if they want just the driver done, you got it. If you want them all done, you betcha.
Lofts and lies. How often do you see like loft or lie creep, you know, where a club just, you don't know what happened, but it's 2 degrees stronger than it used to be. Does that come up?
It happens. Yeah. Usually we'll ask, or someone will mention, a club that sort of feels like it's out of pattern with how they hit all the rest of their clubs. Could be a 7 or a 6 or 5, any of the irons in their bag. And it's kind of fun to watch them hit, kind of down through the set. They start at the pitching wedge and go all the way through to their longest iron. And you see the little clusters of shot on the TrackMan data, that have a proximity to the target line and a, sort of a dispersion around where they're aiming. And then all of a sudden they get to the club. They said, yeah, that's, I'm not hitting this club quite as good. And sometimes they articulate it like really well, like, yeah, I miss this one to the right, more than I miss everything else. And sometimes it's, they'll just sort of mention, yeah, I'm not hitting my 7-iron as good. And they don't know that they're hitting it more right, or left or whatever.
Right.
So sure enough, you go and measure the loft and the lie, and they might be a little out of pattern. So if you go through all the lie angles, everything's 1 degree flat, then all of a sudden the club that's out of pattern was 2 degrees flat. So you say, yeah, let's bump that. And sometimes it's the lie angles seem to be fine relative to the rest of them. They say, well, you're certainly hitting that one club with a slightly different shot shape than the rest of the bag. It's up to you. We can try moving the lie angle to where that one club's a degree upright and see if it starts producing a shot that's in pattern with how all your other clubs fly. Or you can just know that your specs are fine, and then if you're missing that one club, you know, more so than the rest of them, it's kind of, there's a human element involved with these things too.
Personally, I like that approach of looking at each club as its own unique club.
Yeah. And everything should be a la carte.
Yeah. If the 6-iron is going perfect and the 5-iron's going a little right, even if let's say you have them both at 1 degree flat, there's no reason that they all have to be 1 degree flat. It's relative to a somewhat arbitrary. I mean, it is data driven, but what the set should be. And with different length clubs, different people's postures, different arm lengths, different attacks, you know, sometimes a guy will swing a driver, which is really long, it's completely different than they'll swing a wedge. So there's no reason that it has to be 1 degree flat through the whole set. Trust the ball.
Absolutely. The ball is the greatest tell.
Yes. Now, how much do you look at the tune-up fitting for, let's say, you know, this is a popular one that we hear a lot. First major of the year, Augusta, the conditions are, you know, really fast and firm. And so guys are, you know, changing bounces on wedges, etc. So how much is the tune-up intended for? I need a tune-up because I'm going to play in Scotland, or I need a tune-up just generally, and it's not about getting specific clubs for courses, but just, I just want my set dialed.
Everyone's trying to, on the PGA Tour anyway, everyone's trying to get ready for Augusta, and it's not always like a tune-up fit, because that happens to be the time of year where clubs are always new. So anyone that's playing in the Masters, for the most part, you know, they've got someone's logo on their bag or on their hat, so they've got to try and get newer product into their bag as part of those agreements. So they're kind of going through the process of getting their bag ready for the rest of the season anyway.
Got it.
So it's a pretty big mad scramble for Augusta. I do know on the trailer that week, the wedges are the clubs that get built the most for sort of that specific course. And the British Open is very similar in that way too. There you get a lot of, you know, low flying tee shot clubs put into players' bags as well. You know, the British Open, utilities and whatnot.
So let's get back to the fitting itself. So you have a player hit each of their clubs. You're measuring. Well, not only will we do spec checks, but we're using TrackMan to measure, I guess, what is it that you're looking for from each club going club to club?
So you're looking for a consistency in shot shape, for one, which we kind of addressed a second ago. If it's something's out of pattern, you kind of have to figure out if it's spec related, player related, what are your options to address it, lie angle, so forth. Then you're looking for typically a progression or a consistency with distance gapping. And for the most part, players tend to look for a distance gapping in the air that's consistent pretty much all the way till they get to a three wood. So if it's a gap wedge to a pitching wedge, the distance between those two, oftentimes they want that same number between the pitch and the nine and the eight, all the way through the rest of their bag. And if we find that they get to a club where there's compression in their distance gaps, usually farther down in the set, it'll happen for any player for the most part, where they don't hit a club high enough to maintain that distance gap, or maybe they don't have enough speed with that club to hit it farther than the previous club. For amateurs or slower swing speed players, it tends to happen a lot higher up in the iron sets, like a five or a six. For a tour player, it might be a two, three, or four. So wherever that compression happens, you have to sort of identify why it would happen. Are they hitting it too low with their three iron to where it's not staying in the air long enough to fly the right gapping past the four iron? Or are they hitting it nice and high, it's landing soft, but they don't have enough ball speed with the three iron relative to the four iron to have it go far enough past the four iron? So you kind of have to identify why the compression occurs, and then you go through the process of identifying solutions to address it.
I like that word, compression. That's a new word for me with respect to gapping.
Yeah.
So that's a good fitter term.
Distance compression, yeah.
Pro fitter lingo right there.
I'd patent that term.
You should. That's that's good. So, and the beauty of some of that is if it is, a loft, let's say it's not a club head speed thing, but maybe it's a launch spin thing, you could really make an adjustment right there, give it back to them, and get it fixed immediately.
Yeah. So if, say, for instance, a player's compression, we'll just stick with the three iron as an example. Again, it could be a four, it could be five, depending on the player. Depending on the speed, but say the three iron's going too low, the ball loses lift because it's not got enough backspin on it, and the overall distance is probably fine, but perhaps the player wants the carry distance to be the same between the three and the four as all the other clubs. So if it's just a matter of how do we get it to fly higher, pretty simple. You add loft to that club, launch and spin start going up. You get anywhere from quarter to half degree of launch typically from a degree, and 200 to 300 RPMs of spin. So that's enough at tour level speeds for sure to start seeing the ball go higher. Mm. The question then becomes, if they get it higher and landing softer, did they rob some of the potential for distance to gain some of the softer landing that they're after? So you're kind of playing with that recipe of ball speed and spin. If there's not enough ball speed available in that player's three iron by the time you've got it landing soft enough, then you have to figure out how to gain ball speed. So that's where you start getting creative as a fitter, which is a fun problem to solve. You go, okay, well, we can make you swing the club faster if we make the shaft longer, if we give you a lighter shaft. So then we'll start having players try that sort of thing. Or perhaps we'll give you a three iron with a cup face instead of a non-cup face. So you go with Apex Pro that has a little more ball speed than a Apex muscle back type iron, and see if that's enough to get you the ball speed combined with the launch and spin that achieve the trajectory the player wants with the yardage gap they need.
So it's like real, problem solving on the fly. Like,
yeah,
here's all the different ingredients. How do we, mix and match and get creative on how you do that? Now, is there a rule of thumb for club to club, the delta in launch angle and spin rate? Is there something that you look for? Is it kind of you see what patterns the player's producing?
Yeah, you kind of see what patterns the player's producing. At the amateur level, they don't tend to spin the ball nearly as much as the tour level. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Most amateurs don't swing as fast as a tour player, and spin and speed is sort of a precursor of spin. If you swing faster, you can create more spin. So amateurs tend to spin the ball a little bit less, and they tend to use irons that help them hit a little bit farther, and a distance iron, kind of a, one of the byproducts of a distance iron is lower spin. Mm. So you'll start to see that lower ball flight happen higher up in the set for most amateurs because they start with a little lower spin because they're using distance irons. But at the tour level, 1,000 RPMs on whatever number iron they are swinging, in the, especially in the middle of their set, 8, 7, 6, all those, if they spin about 6,000 on a 6, 7,000 on a 7, that tends to give them a trajectory that looks efficient.
Right.
Flies nice and high, lands soft, but doesn't get ballooned up in the wind. And then by the time they get to the longer irons, they tend to want to maintain a little more of the spin. So if they're hitting a 3-iron, 3,000 spin starts to not look like not enough.
Right.
And that's why those distance compression, that starts to happen, because right. how do you get enough of a change in ball speed on a 3-iron from the 4-iron while you're adding spin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's fascinating. When the tour player or player can hit the club face every time in the middle, the options that you have are way broader, because you don't need to be fitting for mistakes. You can be fitting for performance. And I would say for amateur golfers who are not swinging a 7-iron, 95, 100 miles per hour, it's okay to have your 7-iron launch or your 7-iron spin rate to be at 5,000.
Yeah, you know? There's been a lot of talk. If our listeners are kind of staying on trend with what's happening in sort of the world of fitting, there's been a lot of talk lately about landing angle. It's got to be a certain angle of the ball
angle
approach.
Angle
of descent coming into to the green so that you maximize your control. And there's a little bit of a trade-off. The higher you hit it and the softer you land it, the shorter you're going to hit the ball to some extent. So some players have a preference to play that way. If you're a tour player, yeah, you got to play that way, because the pins are tucked on the sides of the greens and they're firm, and you got to cover traps, where the pin's tucked behind. Sometimes an amateur, if they see a back pin, if they had to fly the ball to a back pin, they kind of get scared, because if they screw that shot up, they might go over the back of the green.
Right. Or they fly it there and there's not enough spin to stop it.
Or they do that. So they might feel real comfortable, kind of, okay, I can land this on the front, and I know it's going to roll all the way to the back where that pin is. So there's definitely got to be some sense of a player having a preference to perform a certain way or hit the ball a certain way, not necessarily a fitter saying that's not how you should play.
Right. Now, in your personal preference, do you look forward to the tune-up fitting? Like, how do you stack them in your mind of the new club fitting versus the tune-up fitting? Is one more fun than the other, or do you enjoy doing them more than the other?
The tune-up fitting is pretty fun, actually, just because you get to kind of see kind of the progression of how it's usually we're doing it with tour players. If we get a non-tour player to the test center, they're there because you're going to send them new clubs.
Exactly.
but with the tour players, it's kind of fun. You get to see kind of just how consistent they hit through the bag, little clusters of shots, one after the other, down the simulation on a TrackMan display. But if they run into an issue, it's kind of fun to solve that problem. And the sort of the relief that they get knowing they're about to go, place in something that's pretty important for them, where they're more confident leaving that, you get kind of just a cool sense of accomplishment for the day. But the problem solving is pretty fun, because in a normal fitting, you don't necessarily get to identify as many of those little subtle things to try and fine tune someone's bag.
Now, Garrett, you for a living, get fired up about solving problems for, the tune-up fitting, tour players' bags. But the good news for our listeners is you also are excited about solving their problems with their game and their equipment, which you can do, and you can talk to Garrett every Monday night, most Monday nights, but at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, The Fitting Room Live. We'll be there, you know, every week taking callers. So if you have a big event coming up and you are seeing an anomaly in your game and you're seeing, you know, 13 of my clubs or 12 of my clubs are working great, but this one is just giving me issues, give us a call and we can diagnose that. We'll ask you some questions. We'll figure out what's going on. And that's on the Callaway, that's on the Fitting Room Live on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. So, Garrett, any final words about the tune-up fitting?
No, I think if you can find a good fitter to the listeners out there in whatever area you're in, it's probably worth your time to invest in spending a day hitting the clubs you already own and identifying maybe where there's some weaknesses that you maybe need to add just one club or two club, or get the comfort that you know your yardage gaps perfectly now and that the clubs that you got fit for earlier in the year or last time you got them are still really good.
And if you have a gap in the top end of your bag, you can check out the new Super Hybrid at CallawayGolf.com and listen to the Fitting Room episode about the Super Hybrid, which just came out last week. And you could also, if you have an issue at the bottom of your bag, check out the new Odyssey 10 and Bird of Prey from the Stroke Lab family. You can see those at odysseygolf.com. And that was a podcast that came out about 2 weeks ago from the Fitting Room. So you can learn all you need to know there. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fitting Room. This episode was produced by Daniel Burns and Tyler Sheehan. And we will be back next week, same time, same place, right here in the Fitting Room.